Christmas. I'd like to welcome at this time Senator Bob Dole to the 3rd District of Wisconsin, to La Crosse, Wisconsin. It's great to have you in the district, such a distinguished man. The next Vice President of the United States, Senator Bob Dole.
Well, thank you very much. We've now entered our 41st state, and as I've said the last few days, I can see the momentum picking up again. The debate's going to be very important tomorrow night. We think it's a dead heat in the state of Wisconsin, one of those states where it's too close to call, but we're going to win this state.
Senator James Rustin said today that your qualifications for the vice presidency are strictly imaginary. How would you assess your qualifications as compared to Senator Mondale?
Well, I think Senator Mondale said today that he wouldn't, that Ford and I shouldn't even be running for dog catcher. Now, that's how you measure Senator Mondale.
What do you mean by that?
That's how he characterizes his opposition. I think we won a very, very liberal ticket, a very weak defense, and more government, more federal spending, then you can say Walter Mondale is qualified.
Senator Dole, some of the advertising for the Ford-Dole campaign has shown a magazine of Newsweek and a magazine of Playboy.
Right.
Do you think that's a fair way to advertise?
Well, I think Playboy is a public magazine, right? You can buy it on newsstands. It's not anything that many people haven't seen. It is an interview by Governor Carter. I don't see any problem with that. He made the judgment to have the interview. President Ford declined. President Ford, I don't know if he's interviewed by Newsweek or whether it's her own piece, but you can learn a lot about Carter, I guess, reading Playboy.
Today in Plains, Georgia, Governor Carter said that he would not react to any comment made by you concerning his candidacy. He put you in the same category as Lester Maddox as a non-person. What's your reaction to that type of campaigning?
Well, that sounds like Governor Carter. He used to praise Governor Maddox, said he was proud to be on the ticket with him. I can't understand why he would single Maddox out. Maybe they're not friends anymore, but we think he's getting the message, and he should get the message. The American people want to know about is a vote for Carter a vote for increased taxes? We say it is. He can't pay for those spending programs without increasing taxes. We just think it's time he leveled with the American people, and I'm happy to know that he's listened to us.
Senator, one of the things that when you mentioned taxes that Mr. Carter has complained about is the Ford campaign's unwillingness to treat his issues as he has been treating them. Taxes is the example. He first started out using the median. He has since said he's clarified that, and he says you continue to ignore those clarifications and give him the due of stating his views properly. What's your reaction to that?
He's clarified abortion. He's clarified defense. He's clarified taxes. You know, let's face it. He's been on every side of every issue that's come up. He has two or three positions on right-to-work laws, two or three on defense spending, two or three on taxes, two or three on abortion. You know, where does it end? I think he's the one that ought to come out and say to the American people, this is my final offer. This is my final position. I'm going to stick with it. But I think he feels that by saying nothing or fuzzing up the issue, he has a better chance of being elected. That's a judgment he's made. And we'll find out on November 2nd whether it's an accurate judgment.
Senator, there have been mixed economic factors coming out of Washington the last couple of days. Retail prices were announced to be back up again today. What shape is the economy in, and how is that going to affect the election?
I think the economy is still very strong. There are 88 million people working. Unemployment, of course, will go down. The inflation rate was, the announcement on that was very good. It indicates the rate for the year is about 4.8%. The president's cut it more than half, about 60%. I think that's good news, and it seems to me the president's plan is working, the tough vetoes, holding down spending, and I just believe the American people will not turn out a president who's doing a good job like President Ford is.
Senator, one question. Would you advise President...
Energy. I think this might be a good...
Yeah, I'd like to hear Mondale talk in this temperature about his energy program. He voted to delay the Alaska pipeline, roll back prices, break up the oil companies, and take away all incentives to explore for oil and gas, and also voted against deregulation. Now, if it's 30 below zero and you can't buy, can't get natural gas, I'd like to hear Senator Mondale's prescription. Maybe just buy another blanket. That's probably what it is.
Senator, one question. Would you advise President Ford to release the Watergate tapes to let people see, let the public see, if in fact he did have any conversations or there were any conversations about him?
I don't think that's necessary. I think President Ford is a man of unquestioned honesty and integrity. The only one who's really questioned that is Governor Carter, the same man who complains about everyone else. You know, he's insulted President Johnson. He's insulted Governor Wallace. They've insulted Billy Graham. They've insulted President Ford. It comes natural for Governor Carter to find fault with everyone else.
Senator, hasn't the president promised?
Senator Robert Dole.
Thank you very much. I appreciate being here. We've just left Louisiana where it was 70 degrees, and well, no, I think it sort of wakes you up when you get off the plane here. It reminds me of the draft I stood in last Friday night for 75 minutes. Let me say one thing we need, in addition to winning that election, are some Republicans in the Congress to stop some of the liberal Democrats from spending your money. I thought I'd just visit a few minutes. I'd rather visit than make some long-winded speech. Talk about, maybe Governor Carter. I guess he's still running. I think Senator Mondale was in Seattle today, and he said that Ford and I shouldn't be running for dog catcher. Well, we're not. Yeah. And I know the dogs are happy because we're go-getters. But I didn't try to characterize Senator Mondale's future, but... because he's a friend of mine. As I tried to tell him in the debate last week, he just wouldn't listen. The liberals never listen in this country, and we have to pay for it, and that's part of the problem. But this isn't pineapple juice, but it's water, and I might say that pineapple juice is a lot better for you than peanut butter. For one thing, it doesn't stick to the roof of your mouth. So. But Well, we were a little bit delayed because the pilot was looking at the last issue of Playboy and he just kept flying around. They've always said a picture is worth 10,000 words, and I... and I guess that's what Jimmy had in mind when he spent so much time in that interview. But seriously, we are in the home stretch of this campaign, and Wisconsin is, I understand, neck and neck. And I've said that in many states, but that's the way it is. That's just how close this election is. And therefore, Wisconsin is a very, very important state. I never understood how some of the people from Wisconsin get to Congress, because I think most of, or at least the majority of voters in Wisconsin have a moderate to conservative view. But you, sir, send us some liberals for being moderates to conservatives in Wisconsin. But hopefully that'll change, and it's going to change with Adolf, and we're going to have a good conservative member of Congress who's concerned about your future, yes. Also concerned about the future of your children and your grandchildren, and concerned about your tax dollars and some of the federal spending and some of the other programs that the Liberal Democrat Congress has foisted upon the American people. And I often wonder about Governor Carter. He castigates President Ford for everything. He never mentions the Democrats control the Congress by a 2-to-1 majority. He never mentions that at all. And I don't, never had the chance of meeting your opponent. I don't go down to George Meany's place very often, so I've never... They asked Meany once why he didn't run for president. He said, why step down? I want to give you about two good reasons to really work, yes, for Dr. Gunderson, but also for President Ford. Now, I figured out if Ford makes it, I'm going to make it, so don't have to... don't have to... Just don't do anything for me. Do it all for President Ford. I think, first of all, and I say it very sincerely and very seriously, and I tried to say it last Friday in our stand-up press conference, that we're not at war in this country, or we're not at war in the world. We're at peace, and that means a great deal, as I said earlier, to young men in particular, and young women for that matter, and their parents and their grandparents. And there are forces at work in the Congress who would weaken this nation with their votes on defense. And I don't suggest we just vote for more and more defense just to be spending your tax dollars. But I'm not yet convinced we can sit down with the Russians or any other superpower if we're number two in the world. I just think we've got to be number one for the sake of peace. And I want peace, and I want young men to have peace, and I want young men to go to school without being concerned about the draft, without being shipped off to some far-off country, not really knowing the cause or the purpose. And I think it's, I find it rather difficult to believe or even think about that the American people, Democrats or Republicans, would turn out an incumbent president who's kept the peace, who's restored the economy, restored dignity and leadership of America. And I just don't believe the good people of Wisconsin will do that, nor will the good people of America do that. And President Ford is going to be elected for 4 more years. I do have a little cold, so my voice stops it, and I keep talking, you'll know what happened. Oh, good. House calls, yes. Yeah. I thought he was a veterinarian. Well, let's say, yeah. Let's talk about taxes a minute. Governor Carter said in an Associated Press interview that he didn't think Americans wanted their taxes lowered. Anybody here doesn't want their taxes lowered? We have a doctor standing by in case we check you over right away. But he said in that same interview that those above the median income would probably have their taxes raised, but he didn't know what the median income was at that time. Somebody told him later. And it's not $50,000, it's $14,000 per family. I don't know many in that middle-income bracket who want their taxes increased. I was down in Louisiana today. That's the home of Senator Russell Long. He's a chairman of the Senate Finance Committee. And he's quoted as saying that if Governor Carter intends to enact all these programs, we picked out only five that would cost over $100 billion. You can't get all that money from the rich. If he taxed all the money the rich had, you'd get about $5 billion. The rest's going to have to come from middle-income taxpayers, or the very people that Governor Carter says he wants to protect. So I think we ought to take a hard look at Governor Carter's tax proposals. Senator Long went on to say that Carter would have to pull a rabbit out of the hat, not a bunny, but a rabbit out of the hat. You'd have to pull a rabbit out of the hat if you were going to accomplish that. And so I just say, whether we're looking at our strength and peace in the world, taxation, you know, really, I think the American people are pretty well satisfied. The economy is rebounding, and as I said, we are at peace. We have a man with experience. We have a man with experience in the White House who's had about 30 years of governmental experience. We're respected by our friends overseas. We're respected by our adversaries. And I just can't understand why there should be any doubt about the election on November 2nd. I say very honestly that tomorrow night's debate is going to be very important. I'm very confident President Ford will make more sense. I'm very confident the American people will judge the debate fairly. And that's all we can ask.
I second that.
Thank you. Now, this is the last of three debates, and we had three debates so Governor Carter could give all of his positions on each issue. And I hope tomorrow night Governor Carter looks you in the eye, or wherever you are, in the living room, and says to you with an honest look on his face, and he can practice that. And he says to the American people, this is my final offer. This is my final position on taxes. This is my final position on gun control. This is my final position on common citizens picketing. This is my final position on grain reserves. This is my final position on government spending and on defense. And if he did that, I think the American people would really know how to vote on November 2nd, because President Ford has a record. I have a record. Senator Mondale has a record. What a record he has. What a record. It tilts so far to the left, you fall off of it if you ever try to stand on it. But that's his record. Governor Carter doesn't have a record. And I just think the American people ought to know what it's all about before November 2nd. So, so I'm going to retire now and be back tomorrow morning somewhere, but I really appreciate this opportunity. I want to make it very clear. It's an old word you've heard. Well, yeah, that's a hard word to pronounce. When Carter stands up and blasts President Ford, let's just keep in mind one thing. The Democrats have controlled this Congress for 22 straight years. They've controlled the Congress for 40 out of the past 44 years. When I first went to the House back in 1961, I think Wisconsin, if I remember correctly, had 11 House members and 9 were Republican. and you can see what's happened over the years, how much force and how much domination organized labor has in this state. I think it's time we took government away from the labor leaders and gave it back to the people. And that's going to be up to you. And I think a great many working men and women want to help. They're concerned about spending. They're concerned about government. They're concerned about a strong defense. And they're not going to take orders from somebody on the top level. But what we really need, in addition to President Ford, is some help from the Congress. And we're counting on you, and we're counting on Dr. Gunderson to make certain that happens. Thank you very much. Want to tie that up here? Everybody all set with the microphone? Oh. Anybody need more time? Are the people back there? I guess, yeah, there are people back there. Well, good. Yeah. Well, you're lucky. I know you can hear me on the left. It's not very far, and you can always hear me on the right, so I don't have any problem with that. Well, I want to talk just for a few minutes about agriculture, and I have prepared text here. I really don't need a prepared text to talk about agriculture. I served on the House Committee in Congress for 8 years, the House Committee on Agriculture, and been on the Senate Ag Committee for 8 years. We're on the ranking Republican on that committee. I just hope tonight that when Governor Carter and President Ford are discussing in this last debate, they'll take a little time to talk about America's farmers. It just seems to me that that's one thing that so far has been missing in the dialogue, and that's the concern about agriculture. We had our little program last Friday night. We tried to get in a few licks for the American farmers, but they are very important. They are the backbone of our economy. They are responsible for our good balance of payments from time to time. And many times, I guess they just take agriculture for granted. There was a time in Congress, as you perhaps know, and it was even hard to get members, new members or other members of Congress to serve on the Agriculture Committee. It just didn't have enough attraction to get our better members in the Congress to want to serve. Now, I think that's changing. There has been a change in attitude. There has been a change in attitude because I think even urban members of Congress to some extent understand the importance of agriculture, the importance to their consumers. But for a long time, there was a feeling in the Congress that farmers just sat back on their farm and drove their big Cadillacs and cashed their subsidies every month, and that just wasn't the case. But things are changing. There is a better understanding. And for that, we can all be grateful, whether we're Democrats or Republicans or independents. And I hope there are some Democrats in attendance this morning. I hope there are some independents. And, of course, I hope there are some Republicans. It's not illegal to be a Republican either. So I would, yeah. Now, I'm very proud to be on the ticket to President Ford. I just looked at a poll this morning in the Milwaukee Sentinel, which I hope is accurate. It shows us about 7 or 8 points ahead in this state. I really believe that once the American people really focus on the positions of Governor Carter on vital issues, and I'm talking about very vital issues, there'll be a change in these past few weeks, and there'll be a firming up of that undecided vote, and the undecided vote is very high. Someone said that Carter ought to get all the undecided vote because he's so undecided himself. And we're having three debates to accommodate Governor Carter so he can state all of his positions on every issue. But the time has come, as I've said before, to fish or cut bait. It's time for Governor Carter to spell out his plans for agriculture. It's time for Governor Carter to spell out his plans for defense. It's time for Governor Carter to spell out his plans for taxes. And I want to touch on that before I go into the agricultural matter here, because it affects farmers. Governor Carter said this, I didn't. He said in an Associated Press interview about 6 weeks ago, he said a number of things. He said three basic things. That first of all, he didn't think Americans wanted their taxes lowered. Now, if anybody here doesn't want their taxes lowered, Dr. Gunderson said he was glad to examine you free of charge. He also said that those above the median income would probably have their taxes increased. Now, he later tried to get out of that by saying he didn't know what the median income was. That's in effect what he said. He should know. He'd been running for president long enough, but he didn't know what the median income was. And it's not the rich he always talks about. The median income is about $14,000 per year for an American family. That's middle income America. And I don't find middle income Americans who want their taxes increased. I find it just the opposite. And President Ford has proposed tax cuts for middle Americans. In fact, I offered an amendment on the floor of the Senate this past year to raise a personal exemption from $750 to $1,000 for each dependent and the taxpayer. And it failed on straight party line votes. So if they want to talk about tax cuts and tax relief for middle-income Americans, we'll debate that any time. But another ad that hasn't been reported very much, I hope it's been in the farm journals and other information that comes to you. He said that all income ought to be treated alike. In other words, no more capital gains. If you have breeding stock and sell breeding stock, no more capital gains treatment. If you buy some stock in some corporation and hold it for a while and then sell it after the time you've held it, no more capital gains treatment. If you sell some land, no more capital gains treatment. That's what he said. All income will be treated alike. And he hasn't denied this. He also said in another interview with the Seventh-day Adventist magazine, the September-October issue, the magazine called Liberty, that all church property except the church itself should be taxed. So he's saying a lot about taxation, not about tax relief, but other areas he intends to tax, or at least suggests he will tax. And yesterday we were in Louisiana. It's the home of Senator Long, home of many people, but Senator Long, who's the chairman of the Finance Committee, lives there. He's been around the Congress a long, long time. He understands taxes and taxation and the tax code probably better than anyone in Congress. And he said that Governor Carter could, in effect, talk about taxing the rich and soaking the rich with taxes, but there was no way he could finance those $100 billion worth of programs or whatever figure he set without taxing or raising the taxes of middle-income Americans. Well, I guess he did say it would be like pulling a rabbit out of the hat, and I indicated that's a rabbit, not a bunny. It's like pulling a rabbit out of the hat. And that's going to be difficult to do. And one thing that would help us in Washington as we look ahead for the next 4 years, in addition to voting for and electing President Ford, is to elect some congressmen who have their feet on the ground. And I have a candidate on my left, Dr. Gunderson, who has his feet firmly on the ground. And we need him in the Congress, and I hope you're all out working for Dr. Gunderson. And I think most of you are, because I saw a lot of bumper strips as I came in this morning. But we need help, and you need help. But let me visit just a few minutes about agriculture. Let me say at the outset that President Ford has indicated two areas where I would have some responsibility. And some say, well, the vice president doesn't have any responsibility. They asked me last week what, you know, about the vice presidency, and I think to be very honest, and sometimes those of us in positions of in public office take ourselves so seriously that we think we have to, every time they say, what are you going to do as vice president, we have to give them a laundry list of great worldwide earth-shaking matters that we'd be involved in. Well, let's be very honest about it. The vice president, according to the Constitution, presides over the Senate of the United States and votes in the case of a tie. Now, we don't have many ties in the Senate. And he doesn't preside very much, and that's about where it ends. He can stay there every day if he wants, but it's really not the most productive place to spend your days in the Senate of the United States. It's often been said that if they could bag all the hot air in the Senate, there wouldn't be an energy crisis, but that may or may not be the case. So in addition to that, it's up to the President of the United States to determine what a vice president will do. President Ford has indicated that I will have a role to play in agriculture, particularly in the field of exports, that I will have a role to play in trying to help account for those still missing in action in Southeast Asia. And beyond that, he hasn't said anything. I suggest I'd be active in other areas, but to stand here before this audience and try to convince someone or impress someone with all those things I will do as vice president. I was asked what I would do in my first 100 days. Well, I know vice presidents didn't do anything in their first 100 days. And didn't do anything in their second 100 days, but do what the president told them to do, and that's really how it is. So I'm pleased to lend some help to the president in the field of agriculture. Now, whether Jimmy Carter will say it or not, the platform says it, and the election of Governor Carter would lead to the imposition of price controls on farm products. One way or the other, either through direct restraint, direct price restraints, or indirect price depressing mechanisms, such as government-owned grain reserves.